Now, think if Spike Lee had written Django Unchained. And Octoroon is a biting satire on race by the award-winning American playwright Brandon Jacobs Jenkins. It's set in the Deep South on a slave plantation. And the play is based on a melodrama which was staged before the Civil War and the Emancipation. Well, it sounds serious, but this play is hilarious and utterly contemporary. It's cut through with racist language and absurdist wit. And Octoroon has now been slightly adapted by playwright Nakia Louie for an Australian audience. And Nakia is directing her first play for the main stage. I asked Nakia what drew her to the play, so much so that she lobbied Queensland Theatre to stage it. And just a warning, to illustrate a point, Nakia uses some racist terminology from the play. And there's one instance towards the end of strong language.
When I first read it, I was so sad because I was like, why didn't I write this play? And like really jealous. And then I realized it's because it's coming from a conversation and an acknowledgement of history within the US that is so similar to Australian history. And we haven't had that conversation in Australia yet, at least at a public level, you know, at least not in like a mainstream way when we talk about, you know, this myth of what Australia is. So it's called An Octoroon, and basically the play is about a playwright called BJJ, who evokes the spirit of a playwright from the 1800s called Dion Boucicault, who wrote a play called The Octoroon, which was a very famous abolitionist text. It was, you know, kind of up there with Uncle Tom's Cabin in terms of pieces of work that were used to basically humanize slaves and slave owners. So, you know, people would want to eradicate slavery. And it was performed here in Australia, I think, in like the early 1900s, you know, just as a text. And the thing about that original play is it's so incredibly racist. You know, it's this text that was used to support the eradication of slavery, you know, to kind of humanize black people. But in doing that, it's through this white lens that doesn't question itself and is incredibly problematic and hugely racist. So BJJ evokes the spirit of Dion Boucicault, who wrote the original Octoroon, and tries to adapt it. And it's basically a challenge. You know, it's this idea of, I think what I walked away with this play was, how do you change a narrative when that narrative is founded in the staples of white supremacy? Mm. And the challenge, and can you do that?
Well, can you do that? Because you've had to not only in terms of, I guess, trying to contextualize it so that it fits here, you've imagined Louisiana, where An Octoroon and The Octoroon is set, and you've imagined it in far north Queensland.
Yeah.
How difficult was that, adapting the words? It's very much a text about the African American experience, about the experience of slavery, about, you know, racial politics in the United States. How well does it translate here?
Yeah, the thing is that unfortunately it translates incredibly well. So how the play came about to be put on Queensland Theatre was, I'm on the national artistic team there, and I read the play and I said to Sam Strong, who is the artistic director, you really should be putting on this work. You know, why are all our classics that we put on always by white men? Why is the new work that we put on that we see as relevant to ourselves work by white artists? You know, we look at race as something that is a social issue and not universal, but it's incredibly universal. And so I took it to Sam just as like, you should put this on and find a director. Sam asked if I would be interested in directing it. That's how I've ended up directing it. But we had this read, and it was this question of, for me, it could go two ways, this play. We could try and put it on in accents, and I think it would be interesting. What do you do with kind of a cast that is predominantly black? And when I talk about black, I mean Aboriginal in this context. What do you, you know, and it's a very racially diverse cast. Do you do that as like Australians putting on this text like this American text as an American text and hoping that people see the parallels? Or is there a way that with a few slight changes of words that it fits here? And so we had a read, and even not changing that it was in Louisiana, not changing the word Negroes or niggers or plantation, it still fit incredibly well here. That stuff kind of falls by the wayside in a way. And that's because in Australia, I like to think of it as, like, I joke that, you know, by the time the Brits got here, they were just really good at racism. And so we did have slavery. You know, we just call it stolen wages. The stolen generation, they stole children and made them become domestics. You know, this country is built on black blood and black labor. You know, we just have different names for it. We don't call it slavery because it was, instead of it being kind of like a free market, it was so embedded in the constitution and the governance of this country. Mm. And we, you know, like Aboriginal people, Australians, like, to our credit, you know, we often get cultural cringe, but we are very fanciful when it comes to our racist slurs. You know, we used a lot of racist slurs. We, you know, I've been in Mount Druitt and I've seen Aboriginal people get called nigger. You know, I've seen I remember getting called nigger in high school. We used words like negro and nigger here. We have Abos, Aboriginals. You know, Aboriginal people were kind of, like, we were considered the Negroes at one point. That was the language that was used to describe us. So in terms of that translation, the history of colonization with Australia is very, very similar to that of America. And in regards to the black diaspora, you know, slavery was something that, like, they used to create colonization. You know, they built countries on that.
Yes. And, you know, you're absolutely right. By the time they got here, they had perfected colonialism, and they didn't call what they did here slavery. But it was.
Well, it was.
Yeah, it continued for a very long time.
It's like, no. Oh, well, you didn't pay them.
Yeah.
Like you never gave them the wages to steal off them, you know.
The thing is, they let us earn money and then they stole our money from us.
Yeah, well, yeah. It was never went into Aboriginal people's hands, you know.
Right.
Like, it was just like a really kind of bureaucratic way of enforcing slavery.
So minimal changes to the text and even some of the racist language has remained inherently American?
Well, it's not inherently American, though.
You know what,
like,
I mean, though.
Yeah, like the niggers and the Negroes. Some of the Negroes have been changed. Again, you know, we're really good with racist language in Australia.
There's a lot of it.
Yeah, there's a lot of it. It's an interesting thing to have to. It's always incredibly jarring in the room when those words come up, you know. So it's a conversation we've had to have as a creative team, you know, cast and creatives, as to the use of that language. And my thing is it's not language I use.
No.
But it's language that Australians do use. And just because we don't say it on a stage doesn't mean that people aren't saying it behind closed doors. And I don't want to make it okay for people to say it, which is why I think it's important to put it in this play that is so overtly and almost aggressively addressing racism. There's a real cultural war going on at the moment, like, that's, you know, been happening in America, an ideological shift that's, you know, you see it happening here, where basically people want to uphold these values of racial supremacy and of sexism and, you know, homophobia. And they're just trying to make other voices invisible and pretend they're not there. For me, it's just you get louder and you do more. You know, you make it hard for them to shut you down.
Is it the first time you've directed?
Yeah.
Is as actively engaged in and had that title? But you've had a very strong influence on Kill the Messenger. You were all over that play. You didn't direct it, but I can't imagine that you would be the lead actor of a piece of theatre that you wrote where you wouldn't be directing things in some way.
I directed a short film last year, which was in the Dendy Awards this year at Sydney Film Fest, and I think it's going to Imaginative and things like that. I don't know, I still consider myself just a loudmouth who just puts it on paper. And sometimes I'm just kind of the best at saying my loudmouth words, which is my acting, I guess. I think directing, it's been a challenge, to be honest with you. There's a certain level of managerial skill that's involved in kind of, and you know, for my first acting show, I don't know what I was thinking. It's six acts and it's a cast of eight. So it's a huge piece of the pie to chomp off, but that's always kind of been my nature, just dive in head first, sink or swim. It's for me, it's, you know, kind of an experiment in how do you get more Black leadership as well. And that was one of the reasons why I did this play, in that I don't really like the word leader and I don't really consider myself a leader, but I just really wanted this play to go on. And it was like, well, if I'm the only person who can do it, if no one else can do it, if no one's around, and it was really important that I had a Black director. And I think in some ways, like a Black female director, a lot of the directors of this play overseas have been female, I'll do it. And just because, you know, I want this play to be in the environment of where I write plays for theatre, you know? And so I'm really well supported. And, you know, I was hesitant about the career acceleration of what it is to have my first show directing as a main stage show, especially kind of the pressure that comes with that. But, you know, I thought, well, I'll have to actively fuck it up to get this wrong, you know? It's such a brilliant piece of work. So it's not, I've watched directors and now I'm just kind of figuring out the language of how they do it and having to kind of be organized for once in my life, which is really hard. It's really hard to boss people around.